Welcome back to Vanguardia America. I'm your host, James Garcia. Next up, we have a kind of a special event, if you will, a special presentation as part of the Vanguardia America radio program and podcast. It's going to be a conversation with the president and CEO of United Cerebral Palsy. Full disclosure, I do contract work for United Cerebral Palsy. I manage their communications and also offer policy advice on a variety of range of issues. And recently, United Cerebral Palsy hosted the inaugural conference on Latinos with Disabilities. And the event was intended to focus attention on some of the issues nationally with regards to the role and impact of Latinos with disabilities across the country. Before we dive into the interview, I want to provide a little bit of context and some numbers that I actually presented as a report called The State of Latinos with Disabilities. And this will give us sort of an umbrella sort of to look at these issues that were addressed in the conference. First, it's important to know that Latinos are about 62.6 million people in this country. That's as of July 1st, 2021, according to the U.S. Census. The number, of course, has grown a little bit since then. That puts us, frankly, at about 19% of the U.S. population. The population, of course, the Latino population is still one of the fastest growing groups in the country. Between 2010 and 2020, the population actually grew 23%, up from 50.5 million in 2010. Only the Asian Pacific Islander population grew faster during that time. And Latinos also accounted for fully one half of the U.S. population growth in the past decade. In addition to that, it's important to know that in terms of adults with disabilities in the country, the national population of adults, about one in four people have a disability. Among Asian Americans, that figure is one in 10. Among Native Americans and Pacific Islanders, it's about one in six. For the white community, it's one in five. And for the American Indian, Alaska Native population, it's 3 in 10. For Latinos, it's 1 in 6 of every Latino in the country, a Latino adult, I should say, in the country has a disability. If you do the math, and we talk about 73% of U.S. Latinos being adults, today, according to the CDC's calculations, about 7.6 million Latinos in the country has a disability. And this, of course, ranges from mobility disabilities to mental health issues to a whole range of intellectual and developmental disabilities, some of which are seen and some of which are, if you will, invisible disabilities that aren't necessarily apparent because they may not manifest themselves physically. Finally, I should also note that in the U.S., the number of states that have at least 1 million Latino residents include Arizona, California, Colorado, Florida, Georgia, Illinois, New Jersey, New Mexico, New York, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Texas, and Washington. And so I would like to now jump to my interview with Armando Contreras. Armando, thanks so much for being on Vanguardia America.
James, thank you for the invitation. And yes, in your initial note of transparency, and you do work for us as a contractor, and I'm very glad that you're on my team.
Thank you so much. No, I enjoy the work, and it's extremely important work, something that I've discovered just in the last couple of years that I've worked with the organization. Given all of the issues that impact our community, it's important that I think our listeners understand that we have a huge chunk of people, more than 7 million people, who are dealing with disability issues. So first, I'd like to just kind of dive into why United Cerebral Palsy thought it would be a good idea to have a conference like this from your perspective as a president and CEO.
Yeah. Thanks, James, again. Well, one, I can't ignore the fact that I come from East Los Angeles, from the barrio. I am Mexican-American. I am a professional. And I am in a role, a national role as president and CEO. So truly, it's my responsibility to bring these issues to the forefront. In addition to that, in the arena that that I'm in, you know, it is something that's very notable, the burgeoning needs of the Latino disability community. So the reason for it is because of the need. The reason is because we are United Cerebral Palsy, and it's something that we need to address and something that we need to bring awareness.
Now, obviously, United Cerebral Palsy's the communities that it serves around the country, and United Cerebral Palsy is in 30 states. Communities that it serves around the country are still predominantly white, of course, but there are certain states, and some of which I listed earlier, in which there is a large and growing Latino population and communities of color in general. California, for instance, New Mexico, which I think nearly half of the people in New Mexico are Latino, a third in the state of Arizona. Now, in your experience, having traveled around and visited United Cerebral Palsy affiliates, what have you seen in terms of that kind of need, that growing need in the Latino community to address the issue of disabilities in that community?
So James, prior to me going to DC over 5 years ago, I was the president and CEO of United Cerebral Palsy of Central Arizona. So it was evident to me that the needs of families that are Latino, not just Mexican, but Puerto Rican families, Central America, and also we dealt with, because we're here in Arizona with Native American families, is that the need was great. So what I did was one of the things, and one thing that is very basic when you're looking at needs is language. So I began to hire people that were bilingual, that can speak Spanish, and that could speak Spanish way better than I could, right? They were the ones that were interfacing with families and with children and with adults on a daily basis. They're really the heroes out there that are providing hope, providing vital services to the Latino community. You can imagine, if this is Arizona, imagine California, New York. You know, we're everywhere in every single state. Definitely my experience speaking with families, while I'm an administrator, I still had an opportunity to engage with families that were Spanish speaking and that had the same needs that anybody else would have, except maybe the barriers were a bit greater.
And again, kind of given your role as a national leader in the disability community, as the CEO and president of United Cerebral Palsy, you interact and travel and get to visit events or conferences involving other major disability advocacy groups. In your view, is there a need kind of across the board for the disability advocacy community and service community around the country to be taking notice of the growth in the Latino population?
Yeah, absolutely, James. I believe that there needs to be greater advocacy efforts. Some of the issues that I've seen across the country: access to healthcare, not having insurance, not having enough funds to have the latest and greatest therapies, transportation, right? Some of the basic things that we may take for granted. And this is based on families that I've run into, and this also comes from our affiliates. And I just got back from a research conference, and the topics and the focus was early intervention, early detection. What are the things that we're providing as a whole for society as a whole? But then how do we have the communities that have been marginalized, that have been disenfranchised, that haven't been part of these discussions? How do we involve them and begin to provide them with these vital equipment, vital services? So, and then there's a whole cultural piece to it as well. So definitely to your question, James, is that the need is great, and the need is just as great in every city and every state for Latinos with disabilities.
Yeah, let me go through a couple of quick data points to kind of feed our conversation here. Some of the things to consider, and you've already mentioned these, for instance, Latinos in many areas of the country are the least likely to have health insurance. Obviously, then that factors into whether or not we get to see primary care physicians, or that we're able to get treated for a whole variety of things, including disabilities. Mental illness, we should always be reminded, is a major disability that's affecting the population in the U.S. Latinos are less likely to be treated for mental illness. They're less likely to have a primary care doctor There is something in the health field called the Hispanic paradox, which kind of speaks to the fact that while Latinos, a larger number, tend to live in poverty or may have less education than the general population in some categories, generally speaking, we tend to be a kind of healthier group. A lot of that has to do with the fact that the median age for Latinos is 27 versus 41. And then you just mentioned some of the cultural factors that may exist. In our community, sometimes there's a hesitancy and there's still a major stigma around discussing disabilities, whether it's mental illness or some other physical disability. And then let's not forget immigration status and how that can kind of factor in to the whole conversation, whether someone is documented, undocumented, is here as a new immigrant and maybe coming from a country where they're not as familiar with some of the benefits and services that might be provided to people with disabilities. How do you sort of see some of those factors? Obviously, it's a long list, so don't feel like we need to go into all of it. But some of those factors, how do you see that playing into what you know about Latinos with disabilities?
Well, and you touch upon one thing about families' access, and I think education is a big thing. And we can't have the mentality that, well, they're not educated enough. It's really up to us as leaders. It's up to organizations in the disability community. It's up to our policymakers that we do provide access to education. And that education for a lot may make a difference. I had a conversation with a couple the other day, and it was just an event. It was a family event. And they were asking me and said, "Hey, Armando, we know of another couple of friends that they have at least two or maybe three children that have autism, and they have not bothered to take their children to early intervention, to any kind of specialty types of training for the child, because they felt they just wanted to ignore that there was an issue."
And was this, out of curiosity, a Latino family that they were
speaking about? It was, yes, yeah, it was a Latino family. So, that still exists. While many that may be hearing this podcast may think, well, if my child has something, I'm going to go immediately to the pediatrician and they're going to figure everything out. Well, for probably a good segment of our community, there's a hesitancy.
That's Armando Contreras of United Cerebral Palsy. In a few minutes, we'll be back with part two of my interview with him, in which Armando talks about the responsibility of national advocacy groups to respond to the growing needs of the nation's burgeoning Latino community.